I'll risk it tonight and see. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, I was asked to speak loud. Let's give the rabbi a please, please, please. This is an order from the office upstairs. Hold your questions to the very end, and Rabbi Breidowitz will be glad to answer your questions. I think he leaves 5 minutes from the time he begins to speak at the end. And we thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being here.
And we will have enough time to ask him questions and still make a rehearsal. Okay.
But let's not ask any questions now.
As I indicated, we're going to spend a unit on the laws of Shabbos, some of the laws of Shabbos, particularly those involving some higher technology and different issues of internet commerce and the like. But tonight I'm going to also talk about Hilchos Shabbos, but a different aspect of it, just a one session on some interesting aspects of Kiddush and Havdalah, and then hopefully next week we will start our Melachos discussion. We know, of course, that it's a mitzvah of the Torah that one has to welcome the Shabbos with a proclamation of Kiddush. This is based on the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments. Zochor es yom haShabbos l'kadshei, remember the day of Shabbos to keep it holy. And Zochor is the mitzvah of Kiddush, right? One is Mekayim Kiddush. Shamor es yom haShabbos, which is in V'yaschanan, refers to not doing work. That's the negative. Zachor is remembering by the recitation of Kiddush. And as Chazal teach us, as we say in L'cha Dodi, Shamor v'Zachor b'dibur echad. Now, what's interesting about Kiddush is, you're going to see, that men and women equally have the obligation of Kiddush. And this is not immediately obvious, because one might have thought, since Kiddush is a positive commandment that is time-bound, normally, although there are many exceptions, but normally, women are exempt from what is called a mitzvah taseh shazman gerama, but there are many, many exceptions. Women are exempt from shofar, although their minhag is to listen to it. Women are exempt from lulav. Women are exempt from sukkah. And yet, there are many, many exceptions. Women are obligated in Kiddush, either to hear Kiddush or to say Kiddush, if there's no one around to say it for them. And in fact, a woman could even say Kiddush for her husband, if that becomes necessary. And I'll discuss some questions about that. And why is this so, if Kiddush is a mitzvah saseh shezman gerama? And the answer is, because since Shamar and Zachar were said at the same time, we have a rule, whoever has the negatives of Shabbos has the positives of Shabbos. And since women clearly cannot do forbidden malacha on Shabbos, because that's a negative commandment, they are obligated in the mitzvah of Kiddush. Now, what about Havdalah? Right, Havdalah. So this is a big machlokes rishonim. There is a machlokes among the rishonim if Havdalah is a Torah commandment, or Havdalah is not a Torah commandment. Some say that the mitzvah d'oraisa is only to welcome the Shabbos, and not to declare that Shabbos is over. So Havdalah is only midrabanan. Others say Havdalah is min haTorah. So Kiddush for sure is min haTorah. Havdalah is obligatory, to be sure, but to machlokes, is it d'oraisa or d'rabanan? Now, practically, that doesn't make a big difference for us, but there's another machlokas. Are women obligated in Havdalah? And this would depend. On one hand, Havdalah is a time-bound commandment because you only do it Saturday night or up to Tuesday if you have to. But is it included in the Kiddush exception? Right? Kiddush is an exception to the normal rule of mitzvah saseh shezman gerama, but some Rishonim say Havdalah is covered by the rule, and others say Havdalah is covered by the exception. Now, this is extremely important. This is very important for the following reason. This will be a little bit complicated. And that is the following idea. Kiddush is min haTorah. absolute. But what is required min haTorah? The Rambam writes that although you are obligated to welcome the Shabbos by words of its expressing its sanctity, the Rambam writes, Kiddush on wine or on bread is only rabbinic. Da'oraisa, you are yotzei the Kiddush when you daven Shmona Esrei and you say the paragraph of Vayechulu. Let me backtrack for a second. The Rambam actually writes there are two laws of Kiddush that are rabbinic. Law number one is that Kiddush must be recited on either wine, grape juice, bread, that you honor the Shabbos by connecting it to a food. That's one halacha. And there's another halacha that's rabbinic, that you're only yotzei Kiddush in the place where you're going to eat your meal. Meaning, if I hear Kiddush in Shul, and I'm not eating anything in Shul, I'm not yotzei Kiddush, because Kiddush has to be in a place of a meal. That is why, after Shachris, let's say, when they have a Kiddush, if you want to eat, to be yotzei Kiddush, you have to have mezonos, hamotzi, etc. So these are two separate laws. One is the Kiddush is recited on wine and bread. And the other is you as a person are only yotzei Kiddush if you're having what halacha defines as a meal in the place where you're yotzei Kiddush. And without getting to all the opinions, a meal would mean a minimum of a kezias of mezonos. So practically what this means is if you have a Kiddush Shabbos morning and you just want to eat gefilte fish or you want to eat herring or you want to eat fruit or chopped liver, not allowed to do it because you're not allowed to eat until you hear Kiddush. But you're not yotzei Kiddush unless you have what is called a meal. And a meal is not defined by meat or fish. A meal is defined by bread or mezonos. So consequently, if I have gefilte fish Shabbos morning after somebody made Kiddush, but I didn't have any mezonos, since I wasn't yotzei Kiddush, I am eating before Kiddush. And eating before Kiddush is an avera. So you have to be very careful. I know if one is watching one's diet, this is a bit of a hardship, but you know, whatever it is. Either you skip the shul Kiddush, which is a permissible option, or the alternative would be you have to have at least a kezias of mezonos. Now, there's another way out as well. And that is, we paskin, again, everything's a machlokas here, but we paskin that drinking a revius of wine, that's 4 fluid ounces, or grape juice, can count as a meal in order for me to be yotzei Kiddush. So if all I did was take a sip of the Kiddush, that would not be it. But if I drink a whole 4 ounces, the revius is 4 fluid ounces. So that counts as my meal, and that will therefore allow me to have the gefilte fish, the chopped liver, and everything else. So in order for you to be yotzei Kiddush, you have to have either drink 4 fluid ounces of wine or grape juice, or a kezias, an olive size of mezonos, or a kezias of hamotzi. If you want, then of course you're going to have to bench. Until I do one of those three things, I do not fulfill Kiddush. If I do not fulfill Kiddush, it is usur for me to eat anything. Because I'm eating, even if somebody made Kiddush, but if I'm not yotzei Kiddush, I'm eating without Kiddush. So this is the rule that is called Kiddush b'makom Seuda. Already in the time of the Gemara raises the interesting question. There was an old custom, and this is still the official Ashkenazic custom, as the Ramah records it, although the yeshiva do not follow it, and Sfardim don't follow it either for reasons I'll discuss. That is the making of Kiddush Friday night in Shul. The old Ashkenazic custom, which was already in the time of the Gemara, that they used to make Kiddush in Shul. Now the problem is, why are you making Kiddush and Shul? Nobody is Yotzei Kiddush and Shul, because Kiddush has to be where you have a meal. And Friday night, generally, they don't pass out Rogalach or anything like that. So what's the purpose of making Kiddush and Shul? According to Shmuel, who says, Ein Kiddush Ela B'makom Seuda. So the Gemara answers that according to Shmuel, the only reason to make Kiddush and Shul was for the benefit of the indigent poor who used to have their meals in Shul. So they were Yotzei. They would eat in the Shul. Now, this is the Gemara. So, the Machlokes Rav Yosef Karo and the Ramah is simply this. Bizman Hazeh, for the most part, unless there's a Shabbaton, people Friday night are typically not going to eat in Shul. They're going to go home. So, it turns out that the justification for making Kiddush in Shul no longer applies because no one is Yotzei because everybody's going home. So, Rav Yosef Karo therefore rules that Bizman Hazeh, unless you have actual people eating in the Shul, Kiddush in Shul should not be recited. And this is how Svardim follow. And for some reason, the yeshiva world follows this as well. The Ramah, however, consistent with the Ashkenazic emphasis on defending all minhagim, even if the reason doesn't apply so much, says that although the sages enacted this custom because of guests, but it has become a permanent minhag Yisrael, or a takana of the Chachamim, and therefore the Ramah says we still recite Kiddush in Shul, and that's why. Now again, today, you know, not all shuls do it, but as I say, the minhag, the official minhag Ashkenaz is to recite Kiddush in Shul Friday night. We then, however, get into this following problem. Let's say I'm the Chazan, and I'm reciting Kiddush in Shul Friday night. But since I'm not Yotzei, because I'm not having a meal, what do I do with the wine? I'm not allowed to drink the wine without a Kiddush, and my Kiddush isn't a Kiddush. So what do I do? I say Kiddush Friday night, I'm not Yotzei. So the Mishnah Berurah says, you give the wine to a child to drink. But what type of child? So here you got to find the perfect age. Because if he's a child who's old enough to be trained to understand halacha, he's not allowed to eat before Kiddush or drink. So it has to be a child who is too young. In other words, he's not yet being trained and not eating. He's 4 or whatever it is. Now, some opinions say the opposite. Well, wait a second. If you have a child who's so young that he's not yet being trained, then you're not allowed to say the bracha. It's a bracha in vain, which you don't have a head. So you have to have a child who's old enough to be trained. So the perfect kid you're looking for, and all of us want the perfect child, is you want a child who is old enough to understand the concept of a bracha, but he's too young to restrict him on his eating. In other words, he still needs to eat frequently. You can't like tell him, don't eat for the next hour, or whatever it would be. So if you find that perfect kid, right, we're all looking for the perfect kid, that is the ideal child to give the wine for Kiddush. Now, there is another solution, and that is the Mekadesh, instead of just taking a sip, should drink 4 fluid ounces. And therefore, it has become his meal. But here is the rub. The Mishnah Berurah brings, l'chatchila, you should not kill 2 birds with 1 stone. And that is the following. Every time Kiddush is recited, you have to drink a certain amount of wine. And the amount of wine that you have to drink for Kiddush is defined as malo lugmav. Malo lugmav is the amount of wine that you could fill up 1 cheek. Now, that translates into rov of a revius, 2 fluid ounces and a mashu. So the Mishnah Berurah says, in order for wine to be your seuda, it has to be in addition to what you are drinking because of the mitzvah of drinking Kiddush. So you actually have to drink 6 and a mashu fluid ounces, 2 plus a little bit to be Yotzei, the drinking of Kiddush, and another four to make your meal. That is 6 fluid ounces. Then Mr. Burr says, b'di'evad, you can kill 2 birds with 1 stone. So in the 4 fluid ounces, you can include that in the 2 ounces you have to drink for Kiddush. That would be the solution. Okay. But remember this principle of Ein Kiddush, Ella, B'makom, Suda. Now, going back to the Rambam, though. The Rambam says that this requirement, both of making it on wine or bread, if you don't have wine, you don't want, you can't drink wine, and the requirement of Makom Suda, are rabbinic requirements. And they are rabbinic requirements. In other words, you have to do it until you comply with those conditions. But the thing is, on a Torah level, you actually fulfill Kiddush with Vayechulu, just saying the words. So on a Torah level, you've done the mitzvah, the extra requirements are rabbanim. So based on this, we have a fascinating, fascinating machlokas between two great, great poskim, the Neid of Yehuda, who is the Rav of Prague, Rav Yecheskel Landau, in the 18th century, and Rabbi Kivager, who was the Rav of Posen, in the 18th century. Rabbi Kivager was a little after the Neid of Yehuda. And here is the following. Now, again, in order to understand this, you need a lot of background, but the background is very interesting. What's the halacha if I made Kiddush and I was Yotzei? But a guest then comes to my house after I made Kiddush. Can I make Kiddush again for a person who didn't hear Kiddush? The answer is yes, I can. And I can do it a third time, and a fourth time, and a fifth time. I can make Kiddush, including the blessing over the wine, as many times as there is somebody who needs to be Yotzei. Why is that so? L'chora, once I was Yotzei Kiddush for myself, is it not a blessing in vain to keep on repeating it? Rashi explains it is not. And the reason it's not is because of the principle, Kol Yisrael Areven Ze Laze. Each Jew is responsible for every other Jew. Consequently, if you didn't hear Kiddush, even though I made Kiddush for myself, if you did not hear Kiddush, it is as if there is something lacking in the fulfillment of my obligation. And that permits me to do it again and again and again, because in a sense, if you're not Yotzei, I'm not fully Yotzei, and therefore it's not a blessing in vain. This is a fundamental rule that allows me to say Kiddush and Havdalah as well, as many times as somebody needs to, because Kol Yisrael Areven Ze Laze. Okay. So now, let me tell you the Machlokas Rebbe Kivager and the Neid of Yehuda. The Gemara in Brachos has an interesting question. Well, we know that women have to bench, right? If a woman eats bread, she has to bench, just like men. But the Gemara has a shaila, is a woman's chiyuv of Birkas HaMazon a Torah requirement? Or is it a rabbinic requirement? Because perhaps, since Birkas HaMazon talks about circumcision, and women don't have that, perhaps they're exempt on the Torah level. So the Gemara asks, who cares? What's the difference if it's Doraisa or Drabbanan? The Gemara says, the difference is, can a woman bench for a man if the man is unable to talk? If the woman is only Drabbanan, she cannot bench for a man because the man is Doraisa. If the woman is Doraisa, she could bench for a man because they're of equal obligations. You see, the normal rule is, I can only do a mitzvah for you if I am the same or a greater level of obligation. If I am only a drabanan, I cannot do it for a doraisa. Okay. So, based on this idea, here is what the Neid of Yehuda posits. Very amazing. A man is in shul Friday night. A man davens ma'ariv. In the Ma'ariv of Friday night, he said the paragraph of Vayichulu. Has he fulfilled his obligation of Kiddush on a Torah level? Yes, he has. Is he still obligated to recite Kiddush on a rabbinic level? Yes, because he has to make it on wine or bread, and he has to make it where he's going to eat. So when he comes home, his obligation of Kiddush is only midrabbanan. If his wife has not davened Arvis, her obligation of Kiddush is a Torah requirement. So the Neir Yehuda says the following. If the Gemara in Brachos teaches me that one who is obligated only rabbinically cannot do a mitzvah for somebody who's obligated biblically, the Neir Yehuda concludes, a man who has davened Maariv Friday night cannot recite Kiddush for his wife who has not davened Maariv Friday night, because his obligation is rabbinic and her obligation is Torah, and one who is only obligated rabbinically cannot be motzi somebody who is obligated under Torah law. This would be a real game changer in terms of normal procedure, because I don't want to say most, but quite a few women do not daven Maariv generally, even Friday night. And if they do not do so, they remain mechuyavot in Kiddush min haTorah. The man who davens Friday night has fulfilled his Torah commandment according to the Rambam. He is only mechuyav midrabanan. A chiyav derabanan cannot make Kiddush for a mechuyav diaraisa. Now, let me add right away, we do not paskin like the Neir Yehuda, and this is where Rabbi Kiveger argues. Rabbi Kiveger gives a number of reasons why we do not paskin like the Neir Yehuda. First, Rabbi Kiveger says, your assumption of asymmetry, that husband is derabanan and wife is the araisa, may be simply untrue. If the husband becomes midrabanan because he said vayechulu in the Amidah, the wife might have fulfilled her mitzvah of Kiddush D'Oraisa by lichtbenching when she said Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos, or even by saying Good Shabbos if they talk. So as soon as she says Good Shabbos, she's downgraded to a drabbanan. So it's a drabbanan to a drabbanan. Right? The husband said Vayechulu, she said Good Shabbos. Okay? So they're equal. Drabbanan, drabbanan. That's one argument. The other argument the Mishnah Berurah brings, that since the husband clearly intends that he's going to make Kiddush at home, when he davens Vayechulu, it is as if he is specifically intending that this should not be my Kiddush. And you know, you're not Yotzei a mitzvah if you have specific intention that you don't want to be Yotzei. And therefore, that means the man is Dorais. In other words, you look at it two ways. Either they both become Drabbanans, or if you go with the idea that since he intends to make Kiddush, he's not going to be Yotzei, then they're both Doraisas. But finally, Rebbe Kiveger says, he doesn't accept the whole premise of the argument. Because if we have the rule, call Yisrael a raven, Zelaze, then the Drabbanan and Doraisa doesn't make a difference. Yes, it might be the man is Drabbanan, but listen, think about it. Even if he made Kiddush totally, he was Yotzei even Drabbanan, he could make Kiddush again. Because Kol Yisrael Areven Zelazah says he's Chayav. So Rebbe Kiveger said, a guy who fulfilled Kiddush D'Oraisa by davening is not going to be more strict than a guy who fulfilled his Kiddush 100%. And if he could make Kiddush again because of Kol Yisrael Areven Zelazah, then he could make Kiddush for his wife based on Kol Yisrael HaRevin Zelazah. Now the only question is, that although that's very logical, how do you deal with the Gemara in Brachos that says a drabbanan cannot do for a daraisa? Why don't you say Kol Yisrael HaRevin Zelazah? Okay, well, I'll leave that. I don't want to get into the intricacies of the sources. But basically, therefore, there are three arguments against the Neir Yehuda. Right, the Neir Yehuda has a problem. Man has been downgraded to a Rabbanan. Wife is Doraisa. He can't make Kiddush. Argument number one, woman is also a drabbanan because she did lich benching. Argument number two, man is still d'oraisa because he has intention not to fulfill his kiddush with vayichulu. And argument number three is, even if man goes down to a rabbanan and woman is d'oraisa, man could still be motzi because of the principle of kol Yisrael areivin zelazel, which is actually Rabbi Kivager's strongest point, logically, because he argues, once again, even if I made Kiddush Lagamri and I was Yotze, I could do it again. So I can certainly do it if all I did was Davin Marv. Again, the problem with Rabbi Kivager is only the Gemara and Brachos. Rabbi Kivager answers it. Rabbi Kivager addresses it, but I don't want to get too complicated. So bottom line, don't worry about it. Life can go on as usual. Even if a man davened in shul, he can make Kiddush for his wife, even if she didn't daven. But, where this is going to be tricky is Havdalah. Havdalah, as you know, is also recited in shul. Now, Havdalah, unlike Kiddush, does not have to be in a place where you have a meal. So in theory, even if I'm not going to drink the wine, I'm not going to have any food at all, if I want to be Yotze Havdalah in shul, Motzei Shabbos, let's say I want to be Yotze Havdalah in shul, or I want to say Havdalah for people, I can do it, and I can be Yotze, even if I'm not eating. But here's a problem. And the problem is that although a man who davened in shul, or a man who even said Kiddush in shul, even if he said Kiddush in shul, and even if he ate a meal in shul, could make Kiddush for his wife, a man who was Yotzei Havdalah, I was Yotzei Havdalah, will not be able to make it for his wife. At least the Ramah says, Svardim or Mekel, will not be able to make it for his wife when he comes home. He will only be able to make it if there are other boys in the house who are bar mitzvah. He will not be able to make Havdalah for Ketanim, and he will not be able to make Havdalah for his own wife. Now, why is that so? Why is there this disconnect? If I made Kiddush and if I davened, and even if I made Kiddush and shul, and even if I ate a meal and shul, I can come home and make Kiddush for my wife again based on Kol Yisrael areivin zelazel. But I cannot make Havdalah for my wife if I was Yotzei Havdalah. So the reason is the following. I had mentioned before that there's a machlokes rishonim if women are chayavos in Havdalah or not chayavos in Havdalah. Now because it's a machlokes, women have to be machmir and hear Havdalah. Right? That's for sure. Because it's a machlokes. But here's the problem. If I was already Yotzei Havdalah, on the tzad that women are exempt, my making Havdalah again would be a bracha levatala. If a woman is chayev in Havdalah, my making it again is not a bracha levatala because kol Yisrael areivin zelazel. And women are chayev in Kiddush. But if women are not chayevot in Havdalah, my recitation would be a bracha levatala. Because maybe they're not obligated. And you can't say, call Yisrael a raven zelazeh on a mitzvah they may not be obligated in. So, consequently, if I wasn't Yotzei Havdalah, I make it for myself, and if I make it for myself, I include my wife. But if I was Yotzei and I'm only making it for her, it is a freshkenazim, this is, it is a safek bracha levatalah. So, as a result, the Ramah says that when somebody makes Havdalah in shul, he should be a single person, it should not be a married person. Because if a married person made Havdalah in shul, or even if I'm married and I had kavanah to be Yotzei in shul, I will not be able to make it at home again because it's a safek bracha levatalah. So one second. So let's say I messed up. Let's say I goofed. Let's say I made Havdalah in shul, and now I want to come home and I realize, oh, Yvay, my wife didn't hear Havdalah. What do I do? So if I have a son that's 13 years old, he can make it. for his mother, for himself and for his mother. If I don't have such a son, what can I do? A katan cannot make havdalah for an adult. So the answer is, the woman makes havdalah herself. And even though it is very true that there is a minhag, that a woman does not drink from the wine of havdalah, that is only if somebody else made havdalah for her. If she is making havdalah for herself, which she can do, she can drink. She can and must drink. Now, you may ask me, what I just said is illogical. I just said, husband can't do it for his wife, because since women might be exempt, it would be a blessing in vain. Well, by that logic, how can she do it for herself if she's exempt? It's a blessing in vain. Why is her doing it any more acceptable than his doing it? She's exempt, a blessing in vain. The answer is no. There's all the difference in the world between her and him. And this is based on another decision of the Ramah. What is the basis for women to be paturas from havdalah? Because it's a time-bound commandment that's not covered by the Kiddush exception. That would be the reason. But the Ramah paskins, based on Rabbeinu Tam, that if a woman wants to voluntarily make a bracha on sukkah, on lulav, she is allowed to do so because she gets reward as an eino mitzuveh v'yoseh. So, I cannot do it for her, because if she's not obligated, I don't have the heter of Kol Yisrael Arevin Zelazeh. But she can do it, because either way, if she's obligated, she could do it. And if she's not obligated, she could do it. Because the Ramah says, on all mitzvah saseh shazman grama, women can do it. So she can do it. Now, this is a general machlokas, Ashkenazim and Sephardim. Because for Sephardim, this wouldn't work. You know, one of the major liturgical machloksim between Ashkenazim and Sephardim is, can women make brachos on mitzvos that they are exempt? A woman is exempt from sukkah. A woman is exempt from shofar. A woman is exempt from lulav. This is absolutely clear. The Ramah says, based on Rabbeinu Tam, that if a woman voluntarily takes lulav, if a woman voluntarily wants to sit in the sukkah, and even if a woman wants to, you know, hear shofar, let's say at home, she can make the bracha asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosav v'tzivanu. Because even though she's not commanded, the bracha is Hashem sanctified the Jewish nation, and she is permitted to make that bracha. This is the Ramah based in Rabbeinu Tam. Sephardim, which is the psak of Rav Yosef Karo, which is the psak of the Rambam, says, even though women are encouraged to do mitzvot asei, shazman grama, and women get rewarded in Shemayim for doing these mitzvos, they cannot make a bracha, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvosa, because they were not commanded. It's a blessing in vain. Now, this was one of Rav Avadya Yosef's great campaigns, because for so many decades, most religious Sephardic girls were educated in Ashkenazic Beis Yaakovs, and the Ashkenazic Beis Yaakovs didn't acknowledge there was such a thing as Sephardic Minhagim. And they just told the girls, make bracha, make bracha, make bracha, make bracha. And generations of Sephardic women grew up with the psak that they're supposed to make brachos on mitzvah taseh shazman grama. And Rav Uvadja, who was an interesting combination of a great gaon b'Torah, phenomenal scholar in Torah, but also somebody who was very much into the ethnic pride of Sparta. That's why he was popular even among Chilonim Sephardim, in terms of giving them pride. L'hachzir atarah liyoshna. He was on a campaign that Sephardic women have to be taught, very specifically, not to recite brachos. Now, this was part of the, Rav Avadya's view. Again, I don't want to spend my whole time on this, but Rav Avadya's pan-Sephardic view, as if there is one uniform Sephardic rule, which is Rav Yosef Karo, was actually not accepted by many Sephardim. Particularly, Rav Avadya's celebrated machlokas was with some of the Moroccan Rabbanim, where the Moroccan Rabbanim had many minhagim that they followed the Ramah, I believe including making brachos on these mitzvahs. And they basically said, we're Sfardim too, why should we abandon our minhagim? So Rav Avadya said, okay, this is probably not, I'm pretty sure it's not true, but this is what he said. He says, the only reason you Moroccans say brachos is because the only chinuch you had was the Chabad houses that opened up in Morocco. And, you know, nothing to do with Sfardim, they just taught you a Chabad minhagim, which, you know, follow in this case the Ramah. He says, you do not have the right to say this is the Sfard, you know, Sfard minhag, you just had the Chabad houses of the 40s and the 50s. But again, that probably is not true. I mean, there are many Moroccan poskim who wrote that our following the Ramah in certain matters goes back hundreds and hundreds of years. Okay, be it as it may, I just want to point out, though, that if you follow Rav Avadya and the Mechaber, you may wonder, we have the Havdalah is really a dilemma. Because on one hand, like this, let's go back to the problem. Once I make Havdalah in Shul, I can't do it for my wife. So Ashkenazim would say, she should do it. But Sfardim are not going to allow her to do it, because on the tzad that women are exempt because it's a mitzvah to say Shazman Garama, they can't make the bracha. So the man can't do it and the woman can't do it. Do I got to look around for the neighbor's 13-year-old? Like, what do I do? And it has to be a 13-year-old who didn't hear Abdullah. So it's a Gordian knot. So Rav Avadya basically cuts the knot by simply saying that Sfardim Paskin, women are obligated in Havdalah. They don't consider it a safek. It is a vadai. And if it's a vadai, then even the husband can do it. And certainly the woman can do it, because it's not, in other words, Rav Avadya simply said, instead of treating it like a safek, women are chayavot. If women are chayavot, you don't have the problem to begin with. Because otherwise, if you treat it like a safek, you would have a Gordian knot. Because the man couldn't do it for his wife, and she couldn't do it herself. Rav Avadya says, however, we are machriya, women are chayavot, bevadai, not besavet. Therefore, man can do it because of Kol Yisrael are ravens elazeh. So according to Rav Avadya, even l'chatchila, there would be no problem with a married man making Havdalah and Shul, and then making it again for his wife, because Havdalah and Kiddush will be exactly the same, and there's not going to be a problem there, because of Kol Yisrael are ravens. Okay, so that's an interesting thing to be aware of. And this is why, I don't know if you've noticed, but this is why in Ashkenazic shuls, if the Rav is knowledgeable in halacha, the Rav will insist that a single person make the Havdalah and Shul rather than a married person, because otherwise there will be a little bit of a conundrum of the married man making Havdalah for us. Now again, I do want to repeat this. If a woman is by herself, then she absolutely must make Havdalah, and it's perfectly okay and even mandatory that she drink the wine. So don't worry about all these minhagim of a woman not drinking wine. There is such a minhag indeed, but this only applies if somebody is making Havdalah for her. It does not apply if she's making Havdalah herself. Now, since you don't need a meal for Havdalah, so the amount of wine that needs to be drunk is only the cheekful, which is the 2 fluid ounces. You don't have to have, you don't need the other 4 ounces. That's only when you're kiddush, when you're using the wine for a meal, then you would need the 4 ounces. For Havdalah, the 2 ounces plus a mashahu, a little bit, is going to be sufficient for Havdalah. Okay. Now, let me just raise another interesting question about men and women. There is a halacha that applies, that once the time for Kiddush has come, and this is true both at night and in the morning, you are not allowed to eat anything until Kiddush is recited. You cannot eat anything or drink anything until Kiddush. You cannot even have a glass of water. Of course, that's a little awkward, because if you need to have water, you have to make Kiddush, which then requires a meal, right? So you have to have a warm mazonos, etc. So you can't just say, I want to have a drink of water. Now, the question becomes, when the time of Kiddush comes, so when does the time, in other words, until the time of Kiddush comes, you don't have this prohibition. Once it's the time of Kiddush, it is usher to eat anything until your Yotzei Kiddush. So Friday night, the time of Kiddush is sunset. As soon as the sun goes down, as soon as Shabbos halachically begins, you cannot eat or drink until Kiddush. But When is the Zaman of Kiddush Shabbos morning? So we have an interesting dichotomy. One is not Chayav in Kiddush Shabbos morning until you have davened Tefilas Shachris. So until you davened Shachris, it is not yet the Zaman of Kiddush. Therefore, the prohibition of eating or drinking before Kiddush does not apply if I didn't daven Shachris. Now, does that mean if I didn't daven Shachris, I can eat whatever I want to eat? No, because there's another prohibition. You're not allowed to eat or drink before you daven Shachris. That's a prohibition. That's a prohibition that applies not only on Shabbos. It applies every day of the week. But the difference is, the davening, the pre-davening prohibition is not the same as the pre-Kiddush prohibition. The pre-Kiddush prohibition is absolute. It even covers water. The pre-davening prohibition is not so absolute. Now, what are you allowed? That itself is controversial, but let me just give you the basic opinion. You are absolutely allowed to have water before davening. That's for sure. Most opinions say you are allowed to have at least coffee and tea without sugar. That's for sure. So let's go with that first. I'll talk about the other customs, particularly some of the German, the Yekiminogen, which have quite a lot of food before Shachris on Shabbos. So let's take the simple, uncontestable issue. So if before I go to shul, and this is men and women, if before I go to shul, I want to have a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, am I allowed to do so without making Kiddush? The answer is yes. Because the prohibition against food or liquid before Kiddush only applies after Shachris. Since I did not daven Shachris yet, I don't have that prohibition. And although I do have the prohibition of eating or drinking before Shachris, that prohibition doesn't cover water, coffee, or tea. Therefore, I can have my coffee or tea without making Kiddush. Now, once I daven Shachris, even if I'm still in shul, I didn't daven Musaf yet, I didn't hear Kriyas HaTorah yet, I have a problem. Even if I just want to have a glass of water, I'm not allowed to do that unless I make Kiddush. Because once I daven Shachris, I have a new prohibition. And the new prohibition is can't have anything, can't have water until you make Kiddush. Okay, you see the difference. So Shachris is an important dividing point. Now, you may know, or maybe you have your own minhag this way, that some people on Shabbos morning are very, very lenient. Some people will actually have cake before they go to shul on Shabbos. Mishneh Berurah does not like that at all. He considers it to be a highly improper rule, at least for men. Women may have actually a heter. I'll talk about women in a moment, but for men at least, it is a highly improper minhag. The limud zechus, the defense of the minhag, is that it is brought down that a person that is weak or old or sick is allowed to eat before davening. And Bizman HaZer, we are weaker, and it's a long davening, so to speak. So perhaps we could consider ourselves chalash, especially if eating a little bit would be able to allow us to focus. But here's the interesting question. If you were to ask me, Stamazai, you know, is it okay if I have a piece of cake before davening? The short answer would be no. But let's say you do have the yeki minhag of having a piece of cake before davening. So the question is, would you have to make Kiddush? So Rav Moshe Feinstein actually rules that if a person is old or sick or weak and needs to have mezonos before davening, Rav Moshe actually says he should recite Kiddush. Now, although Rav Moshe didn't deal directly with the yekimenig of cake, because he didn't consider it legitimate, but if we extrapolate that the whole basis of that minhag is based on the paradigm of the chola or the zakein, it would actually stand to reason you'd have to make Kiddush. Other poskim are cholik. Other poskim say they're cholik on Rav Moshe. And they say that, in fact, the minhag seems to be not like Rav Moshe here, although maybe it's the minhag is of ignorance, but the minhag is not like Rav Moshe. And that is, even if you're eating before davening, if you're not going to have your main meal, it's not yet the time of the meal, and therefore the Kiddush has not kicked in. So I would say, practically speaking, one should not eat mezonos before Shachris. But if you are eating mezonos before Shachris, there would be no chiyuv of Kiddush, because it's not the time of the main meal yet. Okay. But, once again, once you daven Shachris, you cannot even have a glass of water. Now, this is how it applies to men. Now, with women, we have a very, very fascinating argument. It is arguable that women become obligated in Kiddush before men become obligated. And everything depends on everything else. This is a very intricate, interrelated structure. That is, what is a woman's davening obligation? During the week, right? The Mishnah says a woman has to daven. That's very clear. But there's a machlokas. What is a woman's davening obligation? Is her obligation a full Shemona Esrei? Shachris, Mincha? Or is her obligation just a prayer of her own words, a Yiddish Tachina or an English Tachina? In fact, in Eastern Europe, which the women were very devoutly religious, by and large, most women, now this is maybe pre-Beis Yaakov, Beis Yaakov was only created in the 1920s, but the pre-Beis Yaakov religious Jewish women, many did not know how to read Hebrew. And many were not able to take a sitter. In the shul, in the Ezras Nashim, they had the Zogarka, which is like a woman chazanit, sounds, she would like say tefillas for them. And then we know, of course, maybe you've seen them, you have them, very beautiful prayers in Yiddish that were composed, both for lichtbenching and for davening generally. And women, both because they didn't know how to read Hebrew, and because they were involved in the mitzvah of raising their children. It was not that common for women in Europe to daven a full Shemona Esrei. Women were somech on a techina, or maybe they said Birchas HaShachar, the morning brachas. And that was it. Now, here is the interesting point, though. Kiddush kicks in when you've done Shachris. But what's the definition of Shachris? For a man who must daven the Shemona Esrei of Shachris, the man doesn't have the Kiddush prohibition until he davens the Shemona Esrei of Shachris. But for a woman who may not have the obligation of the Shemona Esrei of Shachris, the argument has been made that as soon as she says the morning brachos or any techina, she cannot eat without Kiddush because she has fulfilled her Shachris obligation. Which, you see the interesting thing? If I said morning brachos and I didn't yet daven Shachris, for me, Kiddush has not taken effect yet, so I could still have coffee, tea, and everything else. But there is a svara that as soon as a woman has said morning brachos, and some say even if she said moda ani, that's enough. She has done her minimal davening. And as a result, she can't even have a glass of water without Kiddush. So, in this, most poskim are makel. Most poskim say that the woman doesn't have to worry about Kiddush. And they say the following. If her minhag is, you follow her minhag. So it depends on her minhag. If her minhag is that indeed she only says the morning brachos and doesn't go further, then she's done her shachris, she has to make Kiddush. But if her minhag is that she davens a full Shemona Esrei, even if she only does so on Shabbos, not during the week, then she is permitted to say, I have not done my Shachris service yet, and therefore I don't have to recite Kiddush. But even according to that view, if she's davening at home and she's finished Shachris, and husband hasn't come home yet because of Kriyas HaTorah and Musaf, she would have to make Kiddush, right? Even like that view, because she's done Shachris. But here we have an interesting tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein says the following. Even if the woman has davened a full shacharis. A full shacharis. She does not have to make kiddush, because she is not chayavos in kiddush till her husband becomes chayav in kiddush, because she's supposed to eat with him. Therefore, Rav Moshe says, if she finished her shacharis at 10 o'clock at home, and the husband didn't finish shacharis till 10:30, again, how does she know that exactly? Rav Moshe says she's not chayav in kiddush. But it turns out that Rav Moshe's argument seems to make sense only for wives. It does not make sense for single women, unmarried daughters. So it would seem that if an unmarried daughter or a single woman has already davened a full shacharis, she cannot eat without kiddush. But if she only did modani, or the morning brachos, you could rely on the view that says until she does what her minog is for shacharis, she has not yet chayav in kiddush. Okay, so these are some things to be aware of. And I can take some questions now, I guess, if people want. Yeah.
I'm a rabbi myself, so I very often sleep through to the afternoon.
Yes.
So I'm not allowed to drink?
Well, you're always allowed to drink. You just have to make kiddush.
I'm not allowed to part with a kiddush.
Allowed to do what? Didn't you?
Sometimes I just skip shachris in order not to have the chiyuv of kiddush. But if I sleep beyond mincha time.
Well, let me put it this way. Kiddush can be made, kiddush of the day can be made the whole day. So even if you get up late in the afternoon.
But my question is, but I wake up and I fall back to sleep.
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to drink.
Well, did you daven any type of chakras? Did you say morning brachos? Did you daven chakras?
No, I just
said. No. So that's what I'm telling you. Until you daven chakras, whatever chakras is defined as, you are subject to the general laws of eating before davening. So you're allowed to have water, you're allowed to have coffee, you're allowed to have tea. And if you're weak or not well, you can even have solid food. And most opinions say that you don't have to make kiddush until you daven chakras.
But if you oversleep the chakras time.
Well, okay. I don't mean chakras. In other words, then it would be mincha. Then it would be defined as mincha. In other words, as soon as you fulfilled your obligation of davening that day. I didn't mean to say this. The chakras is normally the first thing we daven in the morning, but if you're davening something later, it'll be that first tefillah. And then you're chayiv in kiddush.
And I also have to take medicine, so I take medicine with some mazonos and go back to sleep that way.
Yeah, okay.
I wake up later and make kiddush later.
Again, Rav Moshe would say if you're eating mazonos, you have to make kiddush. But most opinions say that until you daven chakras, even if you're taking mazonos,
or whatever.
So you would not have to make kiddush. That's correct. Yeah.
I'd like to know if Megillah Esther is different for a woman. Megillah is Rabbanin or from the Torah, and does sucrose eat or artificial sweetener? You said you can't have coffee or tea with sugar.
Well, I said some opinions. Some opinions allow sugar also, but yeah.
Is Megillat Esther, Dirabanan, or from the Torah for women, and are we obligated to hear Megillat Esther? Because I've heard different opinions.
Okay, there's no question. Megillat Esther, you're correct. Megillat Esther is rabbinic altogether, even though it's in the Tanakh, but since it's after Moshe Rabbeinu, Megillat Esther has the status of a rabbinic law. For everybody, for men and for women. Men and women are absolutely obligated to hear the Megillah. The Gemara says quite logically, even though it's a time-bound commandment, but women were somewhat involved in the story of Purim. And therefore, they are chayavos. And in fact, according to most opinions, a woman could even read Megillah for a man, if that became necessary. The Bahag says a woman should not read Megillah for a man, but a woman is absolutely chayavos in Megillah, both at night and during the day. And her chiyav is the same as a man.
I have a question when it comes to Shabbat in Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
Because here is the 21-minute plus, like 40 minutes.
Oh, lich benching, you mean?
Yeah.
How
does it, because I always get confused, because I have friends who still, they do, after 20 minutes, they do like a Tel Aviv time, and even after this, even 18 minutes plus. How far can you go with
Listen. You are obligated to light candles until sunset. Now, once it is sunset, it is absolutely forbidden. It's a malacha. And I would advise you to give yourself a 2 to 3 minute margin of error. But certainly, if I'm still within 5 minutes before she gets it. So the idea of lighting 40 minutes, which is the minhag Yerushalayim, or lighting 18 minutes, which is the minhag in most places, certainly one should try to do that. But if b'dieved you missed, you are still chayav to light until shkia. So that's what you do. Now, if somebody lives in Yerushalayim, they should follow the minhag Yerushalayim. They shouldn't say, I'll follow my old minhagim of New York or whatever it is. When it comes to honoring Shabbos, one should certainly not be more makel than the community that they're living in.
So what happens if I'm 10 minutes later than 40
minutes? No, so that's what I'm telling you. So I'm telling you that by all means you try to light by the 40 minutes, but if you missed, you still light until 2 minutes before, another 38 minutes. In other words, I'm suggesting that you don't light when you're 2 minutes before sunset. I would not tell you lechatchila to delay. Lechatchila, you should follow the minute. But you know, if you missed, then lechatchila you light. I mean, once you missed, then lechatchila you are supposed to light until you're right before sunset. I wouldn't. Why would I tell you lechatchila? You can deliberately not light. Now, the question that you might ask, which is a good question, and this is not only Yerushalayim. The question is, what is my choice? Let's say I need to do malachos. I need to do things after lich benching time. I need to cook. So, is it better for me to delay lighting candles, or to light candles and declare that I'm not accepting the Shabbat? That is a very good question. Because normally when a woman lights candles, she is accepting the holiness of Shabbat, but she can make a condition and saying, I'm not accepting. So under those circumstances, if you really needed the time, I would say it's better to light later. Instead of lighting early and not accepting the Shabbos, it would be better to light later.
Why?
That would be, huh?
Why?
Why? Because the minhag that you accept Shabbos with candle lighting is a more important minhag than how early you light your candles. Because the idea of lighting candles for women, that should be the acceptance of Shabbos. And although you can make a tanai, but a tanai is a very b'dieved thing. You know, something, Yom Kippur would be a good example, where let's say you live far from a shul, so you need to drive to shul, but you need to light candles before. That would be a justification for lighting on a tanai. But normally, a lighting on a tanai is a last resort. It is not a lechatchila thing. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll get you the next one. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I was told that it's much preferable for a man to make havdalah for a woman. And I know single women could go to their neighbors in order to have a man.
Yeah.
Make a
dollar.
Is that?
Well, it's really not really. It's perfectly fine for a woman.
And what about Bore More
Ha? Oh, okay. You do have a good point. Yeah. You do have a good point. Bore More Besamim is no problem. Wine is no problem. Hamavdil is no problem. Borei Mareish, you are correct. There's a big machlokas, haposkim, because Borei Mareish is not really part of Havdalah. It is a separate blessing thanking Hashem for the gift of fire that was created Motzei Shabbat, and some say, therefore, it is a time-bound mitzvah, which is not connected to Havdalah. A woman shouldn't say it. Other poskim, Rav Moshe actually says a woman should say it, but because of that uncertainty, it is better for a woman to hear that bracha from somebody else, so as a result, you might want to hear the whole Havdalah. But you are right. Now, if you're asking me Lamaisa, if you're making it yourself, do you make Borei Mareish? So you said you're of Paskin not. I would Paskin, yeah, but okay, as I say, that is a legitimate machlokas, and some opinions will say you do not make Borei Mareish.
You say Amen.
Yes, of course. Of course.
Because somebody told me you don't say Amen, and this was supposedly knowledgeable.
Okay, without getting into the complications, there is a justification for what he said, but you wouldn't have to follow it. I'm sorry, was there one more question? I know you had a question. Yeah.
In previous generations, it was very common, unlike today, for women not to know how to read.
Yeah.
And
Yes, what?
And women really dependent on men for making profits, etc. Yes. So, but now we also have a situation where there are still women who can't read, either because they just haven't learned yet, they're vouchers, or because they're all the women they can't read because their eyesight's whatever. In those cases that you're describing, where a man should not be making havdalah, in a case where a woman can't make it herself, and there's no woman to make it for her, then in that case, the man can make it, I assume, would that be an issue of havdalah zeh?
The issue of what? What's the last word you said? Well, the Ramah would be strict. Now, as I said, according to Rav Avadya Yosef, there is no question that a man can make havdalah for the woman. It would be a difficult question whether an Ashkenazi would be permitted to be somech on that. It could be if there's no way out, you could be somech on Rav Avadya's psak, and you'd allow it. Yeah, because again, a lot of his psak is not Sephardic based so much. It's just his own hachra'ah, that women's havdalah, chiyuv and havdalah is absolute, and according to that. Now, on the other hand, the borei moreish would be a problem there. For the man to make borei moreish for the woman, that might be more of a question. So, but he could actually tell her the words, and she could say the bracha. Rely on that opinion. But yeah, see, not everything you have to understand. Not everything a Sephardic posek says is Sephardic halacha. I mean, Rav Avadya has psakim that are general psakim in halacha, and Ashkenazim can rely on it, even though he's not an Ashkenazi posek per se.
Okay,
Well, let me put it this way. You obviously cannot light a Havdalah candle until you say the words Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh Tuchol or Gatfan Avram or Yudavin Mayriv. But in terms of can I make Havdalah on wine before I Davin Mayriv, it is permitted. I mean, the normal order is you say Baruch HaMavdil, but technically you can do the Havdalah on wine even before you Davin Mayriv. Well, Baruch HaMavdil is only one. Say that first. But if she didn't, she could still be Yosei Havdalah. Havdalah on wine is a separate mitzvah. Okay, wish you all have a good week.
By the way, I go to
Shiur
with my mother, and my mother says that my mother is in the nursing home. I make Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos, but when I go to her, she doesn't hear well. I'm not sure if she's Yosei Kiddush or Havdalah, but I can't. I